listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 153. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who's trained me so much that I can't start speaking until I get my signal. I don't know what to do without it. John Brownstone. This week, now that we can officially start thinking about the holidays coming up, Thanksgiving being the first one on my mind here, let's talk about how to travel while kinky. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, on Instagram at that handle I fucking hate, lovingds and the number one, lovingds1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm. All links are in the show notes. We have announcements.
Yes, we do.
We have two massive announcements. Uh-huh. And we did not know this time last week we were going to be making these announcements.
No, these are all so like very recently within the last day.
Literally, like I was emailing back and forth on one of them at 10 o'clock Wednesday night while you were getting an email at about 10 o'clock Wednesday night. So, okay, let's get into this.
And away we go.
Enough suspense, right? Okay, so the first is a giveaway.
Uh-huh.
A major, major giveaway. Okay, so a few weeks ago, we, as of the recording of this show, we reviewed the pillory set from Lodbrok. L-O-D-B-R-O-C-K, Lodbrok. We put that up on YouTube. We did it as a YouTube video. And
awesome, awesome set.
Awesome, awesome kink equipment. This is like the kind of thing that it is a investment piece. This is is not just blowing $5. You're spending real money, but you're getting real quality. So for that review, we're going to put that link in the show notes if you haven't seen it yet and you want to watch it. But because we loved that pillory set and we really like the people over at Lodbrok, one, we are working with them in different ways, so you will hear their name more often. And two, because we're also affiliate members, they send us information like their Bad Santa Christmas sale that's already going on now.
Ah.
50% off pretty much everything in the store while supplies last. And this is quality, quality stuff. But, okay, we're telling you about a sale. Great, great, great. If you use our link in the show notes, it'll be an affiliate link and we'll get a commission. No, that's not the announcement.
But wait, there's more.
There's so much more. We're hosting a giveaway through the entire month of November where you can win some kinky fuckery from Lodbrok. Two winners will win a foot pillory.
Sweet.
A flogger and a paddle. And here's what I can tell you, but if you don't even watch the video review that we did of the big pillory set that we tried, the paddle, if you like thuddy, is fucking amazing. I love this paddle.
She loves the paddle. I love the flogger.
The flogger is very stingy, so if you like stinging stuff, you're going to love that flogger if you win. And the foot pillory is basically it puts your feet at a distance apart, your legs a distance apart. You can use it to hold your partner in place or be held in place. You can use it for tickle play. You can use it for any kind of play where you want to immobilize your partner in some way. But it's coming with paddles and floggers, oh my. So, giveaway going on right now. We are recording on Thursday, November 1st, and I have not actually put the giveaway on the website yet. But by the time you can hear my voice or see this video, it will be there. So there's a link in the show notes. We'll be blowing it up on social media. We'll even have a little separate video for YouTube to announce the giveaway because we want as many people as possible to enter. Yeah. The real restriction here is one, you got to be a legal adult in your country of origin. And two, the prizes can only be shipped to North America or Europe. So those two continents. Right. So if you are in Asia or Australia or some other continent other than North America or Europe, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to participate in this one. But if you are in those areas, North America, Europe, please, please enter. The equipment that Lodbrok makes is fucking amazing. These are these are the kinds of things that if we ever open our own dungeon, this is the equipment we will have in there.
This will be there.
That good. So that's the first announcement. Lodbrok giveaway. If you want to shop their sale, 50% off. That's going on for as long as the supplies last. Link in the show notes. Definitely enter our giveaway so you can win your own kinky fuckery and get it in time for the holidays. Yay for that. Okay, second announcement. Second announcement.
Dun, dun, dun.
On December 1st.
Yes.
Saturday.
2018.
We, John Brownstone, Kayla Lords, will be at the Woodshed's Shopping Extravaganza in Orlando.
Yeah.
If you do not know what the Woodshed is a kinky BDSM club. They are having basically a market, a mm-hmm. holiday market where a lot of kinky vendors, probably some vanilla vendors, yes,
yeah.
for the kinksters to go shopping. And my understanding is for the first year, they are opening it up to non-members as well as members.
Correct.
So why are we telling you this? Because we know for a fact we have listeners, one in Florida and two, that can get to Orlando if they want to.
Right.
And we are going to be there manning the Kinky Fuckery Shop / Wood Dom booth.
Yep.
In all our glory.
Uh-huh.
December 1st, the Woodshed in Orlando. Like, really well-known club, at least from, like, Central Florida on south. Like, if you live in this area and you're kinky, you have at least heard of the Woodshed. I've never even gotten to go to the Woodshed. Now
me,
I will.
Me either.
December 1st, and, from 3 to 7.
And it's more well I've had somebody contact me from Washington.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Washington State asking me about the Woodshed.
Yes.
So it's,
yeah. Yes. So the Woodshed is so well known and well run and well organized and amazing. And I can't wait to go for my first time, mm-hmm. even though it's for like not at all a kinky thing, just going as a vendor, that people who want to start their own organizations and clubs talk to Cecil at the Woodshed and say, can you help me out?
Right.
Like they ask for advice. This is how well run it is. I cannot wait to go. So if you mm-hmm. want to buy Kinky Fuckery, not even from us, just in general, yeah. you want to go to your own kinky market and you can get to Orlando on December 1st from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. You don't have to be a member to get in. It is free to get in. The money you spend right. is with the different vendors you see where you find
Correct.
Something you like. If you don't have any money, but you can get there and you just want to come say hi to us, we're going to be there.
Too.
We are going to be there. My mind, all the things I want our little table to look like, they will not look like that because I have a huge imagination and way more ideas than time and money. But hopefully it will be very obvious.
Yeah.
We're there and we would love to see anybody who can get there. And we're going to mm-hmm. be talking about this probably all month long.
Right.
And if you have been, I mean, we know we have at least one listener in Orlando. We shipped something to that person.
Just recently, yes.
So even if you don't come buy anything, if you just want to come see us and say hi and, you know, let us know you're out there. If you want to get a chance to walk into the Woodshed take a peek around in a very I don't want to say threatening. None of it's threatening, but non-intimidating kind of way.
Right.
Like a play party can be intimidating if you've never done it. Vendor market thing where people are buying kinky and non-kinky mm-hmm. Christmas gifts, that's a lot less not at all intimidating and relaxing. So
and you can do some holiday shopping.
Exactly. You're going to have your vanilla stuff there.
I'm going to have both yeah. my kinky and non-kinky stuff.
He's making a whole bunch of kinky stuff too to get ready for this.
Yeah.
So yes,
and,
we're going to...
You know, best part about it, it's an indoor market. So
exactly.
you're not... Rain or shine, you can enjoy it.
Exactly. So... Orlando, the Woodshed, December mm-hmm. 1st, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. We'll link in the show notes to the FetLife page or
Correct.
Announcement or whatever it is about it so you can get mm-hmm. all the details. We have had somebody recently ask us, actually on YouTube, in the comments, if we do public speaking and if we go kind of out and about. And we don't do it right now, but yes, it is kind of...
It's something on our radar.
It's something we want to do. And I'll take events like this where it's not about us. It's about the whole community coming mm-hmm. together. It's about doing something at the Woodshed. And we're just one player in it. We're just one little 6-foot table
yeah.
With our stuff. I'm happy to do it that way, to get to know people, to see people. So if you're in the area, you can get there, or you're going to be traveling or whatever.
Yeah.
I would say come just to do some shopping and get your hands on,
Absolutely.
Be able to touch some kinky toys before you mm-hmm. buy them from anybody who's going to be there. There's a chance I might be like, hey, daddy, can I sneak off for 20 minutes and go and go see what other vendors have too?
I may want to go do some shopping myself.
See, exactly. So, so that those are our announcements.
You know, maybe even I believe they have a kinky baker.
That would be awesome. I can't eat anything that a baker can make.
No, you can't eat it, but they may have some like kinky cookies.
They might. You never know. You never know. I can't wait. It's our very first time. It was one of those things that we had to apply to see if we could be a vendor.
Right.
And we had decided that if for any reason we weren't accepted, which we knew was definitely a possibility,
right,
that we would go anyway to see it. So we're very excited.
Yes.
We will be talking about this and the giveaway all month long in November. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get tired of it. But this is the big announcement. So if anybody has any questions or wants to talk to us about it or reach out or anything like that, feel free. Okay, so we're going to get into the episode now because those were really big, long announcements.
Yeah.
We have plenty for the bonus section as well. So if you are a Cricut or would like to become a Cricut, wait for that. But now, because it is the start of November as we're recording this.
Right, the holidays are upon us.
For all that I can think of, many, many friends who, for them, Halloween is at least a month-long celebration.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I don't ever think of holidays until we get past Halloween, even though it's very annoying to see at the local stores the Halloween candy and the Christmas decorations side by side.
Yeah.
That's annoying. But yeah, we are in essentially holiday season. Mm-hmm. We just the other day sat down and planned what we want to do for Thanksgiving dinner. Some years we do traditional, some years we don't. I mean, we've done all kinds of stuff, and this year we're going to go a little bit more traditional.
Right.
But if we're starting to plan it, we know other people are probably starting to think about it. What are your days off? Mm-hmm. And are you going anywhere? Are you going to go see family? Are you going to go see friends? When you're in a DS relationship, we've talked about this in past years, usually around the holidays, about when you end up spending a lot of time with your vanilla family because of the holidays, it can wear on your kink a little bit.
Right.
So in this week's episode was a request from a listener whose name I forgot to write down when I wrote down their idea. So I feel awful and I can't give them credit that they are due, but know that one, I heard your idea, saw your idea, I loved your idea, we're taking your idea. And two,
and we're running with it.
We're running with it. And two, I'm very grateful to people who give us ideas, and especially to this person whose name I don't know who is it. I'm sorry. Talk to me on social media and say, hey, that was my fucking idea, and I'll give you all the love and credit. So there's two sides to this when I think about traveling while kinky. And in this person's request, they kind of mentioned both of these things. So we'll break this up into two parts.
Okay.
There is bringing your kinky gear, which is actually, most people think of like whips and chains and floggers and
Oh my.
But that can be things like your collar. It can be for littles who have very specific, sometimes have like specific kind of gear, like their sippy cups or their this or that. It's that kind of stuff. And then the other part is we're going to talk about being our kinky selves when we're traveling and we're in these situations, which is something we've talked about many, many times before. This will basically just be a refresher, I think.
Yeah.
So let's talk about bringing your kinky gear.
Okay.
My first thought, unpopular though it might be, is that you don't actually need gear to be kinky, to be your kinky self. For some people, certain things are very important to them. I immediately think of collars. Obviously, if you have deep feelings and meaning attached to your collar, whatever it might look like, that's not something that you're going to easily go, I can leave that at home. But when we talk about toys or we talk about the things we use, you know, maybe you do bondage at night when you're at home, but now you're going to be like in your grandma's spare bedroom. That might be awkward for somebody.
Yeah.
There's no requirement that you bring your kinky gear. That being said, and I think most of us probably err on the side of just not bringing anything, you can bring kinky things too.
Sure.
I think you can do what the hell you want is what the answer is here, quite frankly.
Bottom line, you can do whatever you want.
As long as you can have privacy and you know that it's not going to be questionable consent that you made your, you know, uncle's cousin's stepbrother look at something they might not have wanted to see.
Right.
Right.
But the neat thing about it is it gives you an opportunity to also improvise.
And get very creative.
And get a little creative. We did it one year. Let's face my belt.
Oh God, that damn belt.
That damn belt. I know that damn belt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a belt makes a excellent impact toy.
It can make a restraint. It can make a leash.
Mm-hmm. Hairbrushes.
Hairbrushes are great for paddles.
We've been down that road before too.
Mm-hmm.
Neckties.
Yeah.
All right.
Good blindfold. You know,
good blindfold.
Well, part.
It can be a fairly decent blindfold.
Yeah.
those two can be used as restraints.
Exactly. And I think most of us know this. I think most of us, because before any of us ever have a budget for kinky gear, we're looking around our house and our bedroom like the same is true when you travel. But if you do want to bring some toys, maybe you know you're going to get total privacy. I think this year when we travel to my mom's after Christmas, we will get total privacy again. Their little cottage is empty again.
Ooh.
Right. And so when, podcast listeners, do you hear that? That was a devilish gleam. Yes. Okay. You can stop maniacally rubbing your hands together over there. We got a couple of ones. So I personally probably would still not bring any of my kinky gear. But you can, when you know, when you know you're going to have those moments where you don't have to worry about noise or you don't have to worry about anybody busting up in on you and seeing you. So let's talk about toys. So I'm going to start with what, not everybody thinks it was kinky, but anything could be kinky. I'm going to talk about your vibrators and your dildos and your, and those kinds of sex toys. So, you can, if you're feeling brave, let's say you have to fly. You can usually bring most of that stuff in your carry-on. If it's massive, like if you're bringing your 3-foot dildo, check that thing in your luggage. I would go through airport security with that. If you do have like a vibrator or something that can turn on, pull the batteries out. And if it's the rechargeable kind, they usually have a safety switch so that it won't accidentally turn on in your bag while you're traveling. You don't want that to happen.
I'm sure you could, if you really got down to it, you could bring your Hitachi. And if it's anything, it's medicinal. I need a back rub.
Right. And see, there I lurk on Twitter all the time. So I watch a lot of sex toy reviewers and sex toy and sex educators and people who work with sex toys a lot talk about their traveling with sex toys. And some TSA agents, they don't even blink. And some are like, what? And I have seen the occasional story of somebody at airport security going, where can I get that? Right. Looks interesting. So you don't, if it makes you uncomfortable, don't travel with it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't make you uncomfortable, then do travel with it. Now that's the simple stuff. Those are the those kinds of sex toys. But when we're talking kinky gear, it gets a little different.
Yeah. And actually, when you think about it, last year when we traveled to London,
We had floggers.
We had
paddles.
We had paddles and canes
in our suitcase. Now we checked that. Now
that
here's
was checked, yes.
Here's why. And this would be, you always want to check airport security, and if especially if you're traveling between countries. Mm-hmm. Certain countries, though, sex toys like vibrators and dildos are illegal. Now, it's not like going to England that's illegal, but there are certain countries where you cannot, like, you'll lose it or who knows what will happen. Just don't do it, y'all. With your kinky stuff, paddles, canes, floggers, in general, it's better to check it if you can, if you're flying. Because the last time I checked the TSA website, if they think it looks like a weapon, they're confiscating it.
Yeah.
And if it is an item over a certain size, like was it 6 or 7 inches? Check the website, y'all. I'll link to it in the show notes. They might confiscate it. So if there's any question that it could be mistaken for a weapon, and y'all, a paddle, a flog, something you hit somebody with could easily be mistaken for a weapon.
I mean, technically a flogger is considered a whip.
Right. It's so funny. I always forget that.
Yeah.
If you're flying and you insist on bringing these things, you might be paying the $25, $50, whatever dollars it is to check that bag.
Right.
To not lose your equipment. When you're driving, it's whatever you have space for. You're drunk and in your suitcase, so go for it. If you're traveling with kids, which we do, here's our secret. You do it, but I fully support it. When we know for any reason that we are bringing kinky gear with us and it's not easily fitting in a suitcase or it's got to have its own bag for some reason, that shit gets put in the car the night before after the kids go to bed. That way, even though we will have it in the bag all nice and secure, they won't necessarily see what's in it. They can't possibly ask what's in that bag if they don't know that bag exists.
And what's nice for us, when we go on trips, I have a Toyota RAV4. And it's one of the older ones. So instead of the spare tire being inside the car, it's got a little hatch.
And there's a little hidey hole down there.
Little cubby hole down there. And so that kind of stuff gets tucked away under there.
Exactly. So that is the actual transportation. Mm-hmm. If you are bringing, and I'm thinking of floggers specifically because I know how you handle them. You tell the rest of us if anything else applies. Because floggers have strands, what you don't want to happen is for them to get all knotted and tangled in a suitcase or in a bag.
Correct.
So the way we do it is we roll it in a towel.
I use a bath towel.
An old bath towel we don't use anymore.
Towel that we don't use anymore. The floggers get laid out and then rolled up in the towel. That way they don't get, the strands don't get tangled. They don't get, you know, bent and whatnot. They're laid out very nice.
And from a space standpoint, in that method with laying them flat and straight, so all the strands of the mm-hmm. floggers are pointing in the same direction, nothing's all tangled, and then rolling them in the towel, we're able to transport like 6 pairs, 8 pairs of floggers that way.
Now, what have I got?
Only one or two are big pairs, but so there's a lot of little
ones. Got the Gentle Giant, the purple ones.
Those little whippy plasticky things, the finger floggers.
The finger floggers.
The devil ones I hate.
The devils. The one with the hard leather with the knotted ends.
Yeah, I don't like that one either.
Yeah, there's like five or six that get rolled up. 5 or 6.
And now on YouTube you can see the towel is the width of the towel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the diameter is like that big. I would say for podcast listeners, it's maybe 4 or 5 inches across.
Yeah, give or take.
Are you going to measure my finger circle?
Yeah, about four inches.
See, I can do these things. So we do that actually in our toy bag.
Correct.
And the ends then kind of curl in and it's just this like
big tube.
It looks like a tube of towel.
A towel tube.
And if you don't know what's in it, you just think that we fold towels weird, quite frankly. So if you are going somewhere and you're bringing something like your floggers or something that could get mm-hmm. knotted up like that and you roll it in the towel, you can transport several. And it doesn't take up a lot of space mm-hmm. at all.
And it for me, it just keeps it neat.
Yeah. So that's how we do that. With our paddles, what I tend to do when we have to put them in a bag, if I worry that it's going to get jostled. So mm-hmm. if we're driving somewhere and there's paddles, I don't worry about this because it's going to sit neatly in the trunk until we take it out. But when we're flying, like when we went to London and we had paddles in our suitcase, you know, as you do, you just throw them in there, right? I got worried because I know how they are at airports. They just toss your my poor luggage used to look nice, quite frankly, and now it looks like nobody loves it.
yeah, really.
So with paddles, anything hard, and we tend to have wooden paddles, but I think this would be the case for anything. I like to put a lot of clothes or rolled up socks or stuff between my paddles so they don't clack together. One, because you're creating a noise that might make security go, oh, we need to inspect that.
Yeah.
And two, my fear is something could break.
Yeah.
And it's not often we see wood things we've made break.
No.
But we have seen it happen. So now I'm like very, very careful. Especially with our wooden paddles, if I think they'll get jostled, I don't let them sit next to one another without padding.
Anything is capable of breaking. If you ever watch how they handle the luggage sometime, they just pick it up and toss it.
And I know they have to. They're moving fast. They've got to get,
Yeah.
So the way I look at it is, then I'm going to take care of my shit on the inside.
And normally what I do when I pack the luggage is, put some clothes in the luggage. Mm-hmm. Then put the paddles and anything clothes on
and
top.
Then stop. And with our canes, because the canes we own, whether they're the ones you've made or the ones we've bought, they're always Delrin and they're always kind of bendy.
Right.
And I want to be careful with those too. I try to put those with clothing or something to pad them, but on mm-hmm. the edge of in the corner of the suitcase so they can sit as flat and as straight as possible. And that the end of the cane won't necessarily get caught on anything to get bent out or broken mm-hmm. in transit. Now, that, like I said, I pack very, very carefully, very carefully if I'm flying, because I'm not the one handling my suitcase anymore. When I drive, it's mostly how heavy can I make this suitcase until nobody can lift it? We do have a suitcase you could fit like a grown person in, if folded up, you know, but you could fit them in if you needed to. And I try to fit the equivalent of a full grown human in my suitcase.
She does.
I want to take all the things, all the things. Now let's back up. We're talking about kinky gear. Those are toys, right? So if you're bringing your vibrators, your prostate massagers, your cock rings, your that kind of stuff, batteries out, turn little safety switch so it doesn't turn on, check the laws of the country you're going to, especially if you're going someplace exotic that, you know, there's not a lot of people are traveling there all the time. So there's that. And then there's floggers and canes and all that. Now let's talk about the collar. Now I know a lot of people have day collars that are essentially, they're just necklaces of some sort. They blend in with everything else. And so somebody will say, oh, that's a very nice necklace. And you know, they're commenting on your collar, but there's no need for an explanation. You just go, oh, thank you. And then there are people who wear big, thick, like obvious collars. Some are leather, some are metal. So there's all these different materials they can be. And you do what's comfortable at home and around the people who, even if they don't understand what it is you're wearing, they just used to seeing you that way and they don't question it. So some people are, I think, are going to go, this is what I fucking wear and I'm just going to fucking wear it. And you just go, cool, good on you, do your thing. Some people are going to be like, wait, I don't want to get the question about this. Right. And then the question is, what do you do? That's a personal decision. When I think about if I was in that sort of situation, that would be when I would probably invest in some sort of day collar. Temporary, that... Because the thing about kink, and this is the thing we'll talk about when we're talking about being our kinky selves while we're traveling and dealing with holidays and being around family and whatever else, is nobody has to know what something means to you in order for it to be kinky. Only you have to give it meaning and and have a mutual understanding of what this thing is, you know, within your DS relationship. So if you want to go find a necklace or something that maybe you don't think will... create any questions, right? And do that for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that, because you and your partner can say, oh, here's this special thing, and it is my collar for this occasion.
A collar can be any necklace that you assign meaning to.
It can be, I could be a string around your throat if that's what you wanted. It can be whatever you want, and it doesn't have to be this big, huge leather thing if that's something you don't want to your mom or your cousin to be asking, what is that thing that you're wearing?
Right.
What's hilarious, so I wear this necklace that if you're watching on YouTube you can see, but if on the podcast, if you've ever seen a selfie of me, you have seen this necklace, and it's locking and it's a heart and I love it, and we don't call it a collar.
No.
But this thing does not come off except for medical procedures, which it's very sad. And my mother comments on it at least once every visit. And she has started commenting in a different way. So at first it was, that's a really pretty necklace. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And it's funny because it always gives me a moment of pause, because even though we don't call it a collar, we treat it like a collar. And so it's very important to me, and it has very deep meaning, right?
Yeah.
And so when my mother comments on it, it's a little bit like her poking in and going, what is that thing you're doing over there? I want to know more about it. When really she's just looking at it going, that's a very nice necklace. But now, after all this time of wearing it, I think you gave it to me in, what, 2015, 2016, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't take it off. And my mother, I think, has noticed that it never comes off. It does not matter what I am wearing. Wedding dress? Now, granted, my wedding dress from last year did not look like a wedding dress, but getting married, wearing it.
It was there.
Digging in the dirt outside, wearing it. It does not matter. From high fashion, I don't do high fashion.
The only time it came off since I gave it to you was when you had to have the MRIs.
MRIs and x-rays and when I had, all the procedures, all the medical procedures that came off, and those are the only times. So my mother has now noticed that in no circumstance does she see me without this thing. And so now she doesn't necessarily comment on how nice it looks, because she said that a few times. She's like, she'll say things like, you wear that necklace a lot. yes, I do. And I move on and I don't get into the conversation. So
it's my favorite.
It's my favorite. And what's funny is if you know me in the kinky realm, or we're having a kinky conversation, I'm gonna go, it's my favorite. My daddy gave it to me. But I can't say that to my mother, because she would be like, you're who? He came back from the dead? What? I'm confused. No. So I get it. And it is a personal decision. I am not going to tell you that you shouldn't wear your big thick collar that might get questions. If you're comfortable, if you're almost like itching for the questions, like come at me, you know, ask away. Cool. But if it does give you an uneasy feeling or you're having that moment of, oh, I'd rather just not even.
But see, even with something like this, you know, it's for those who can't see it, it's a heart.
Mm-hmm. With a crown.
With a crown.
Of course it is.
All right. And it's actually a lock, a working lock.
Yes.
All right. So I mean, all
that also, you have to pick every time.
Yeah. The key vanished.
So he picks the lock.
I pick the lock.
That tells me so much about you.
But anyway, you know, it's one of those things. It has the meaning for the DS side of our relationship. But you could even say, yeah, I love it because, you know, he holds the key to my heart.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, and just, and quite frankly, I'm really good at just not answering direct questions. I've gotten better. I used to be really bad, but now I'm like, oh, you're curious about that. Oh, okay. Look, let's go over here and do this thing. Like, just redirect. How you handle it is up to you. Whether you handle it at all is up to you. But mm-hmm. I know that there are people who get really upset and feel sort of lost if their collar isn't on. And if it's one that you feel more comfortable leaving at home or only bringing out, you know, wearing when it's just the two of you, mm-hmm. then I would say, see if there's something you can get, like a day collar, something that is the substitute in times when that would be easier for you and that makes you more comfortable, because you can infuse anything with meaning, y'all. Anything can be kinky, as long as it's kinky to you and or your partner. It's mm-hmm. as simple as that. Yeah. So there's no rule it has to be any one kind of way.
True.
I mean, I have friends who have multiple day callers because they all have the meaning that they want with their partner for it. Mm-hmm. And then for some people, it's like, well, what matches my outfit or what feels right or what fits right or what am I in the mood for? But they have multiples because that works for them. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I mean, for many of us, collars can be sacred, but that doesn't mean that it's one single collar is the only sacred one you can ever have. You know, this is, it's not a, you know, religious item. I mean, you could worship it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, it's not like there's only the one Holy Grail collar. Anything can be a collar that has meaning to you.
True.
You know, and it doesn't even have to be around your neck, y'all. I asked about it and then it never went anywhere. So I think I'm the only one who was interested in this. But because I did have concerns about having something around my neck. One, for a long time, I didn't wear necklaces. I didn't like anything around my neck.
Right.
We talked briefly and I got a, that's interesting. So we didn't talk about anything. I mentioned that maybe an anklet, something around my ankle. Yeah. And I kind of liked that idea. A ring, a bracelet. It doesn't even have to be a collar that goes around your neck. It's about the meaning you assign to it and that what it means to you and your partner. So it can be literally string. Okay. It can be a piece of twine that you wrap around some part of your body and that's your collar if that's meaningful to you. So you can bring your kinky collar. You can leave that one at home. You can get another. You can do it any way you want. But there are options if you have worried about how you're going
to
handle the side.
Before I got you this, I had gotten you a necklace.
Yes, I wore that all the time. You sent it to me. Well, no. Did you give it to me in person or did you send it to me?
I think I sent
it. When we were long distance.
Well, we were long distance at the time. Mm-hmm. I believe I sent it to you.
And I wore that every day.
Yes.
Because you gave it to me, so I wore it. That was it. See, I don't need you to, quote, collar me, and I don't need you to call it a collar. If you give it to me, I'm wearing it. Because you gave it to me.
If I remember, it's been, I believe I sent it to you.
It was Valentine's.
Valentine's. And then when we met, I actually put it on you.
Right. I had taken it off or something. Because I was taking it off every night. I didn't treat it like a collar where it stayed on. And it could come off. I had just a basic clasp.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you did put it on. And then after that, it was so funny at the time. I was still very much on the fence about what we were and was this real. And I was sharing an office with somebody. It was so funny. She started out as my assistant, and then she became like, she got a great promotion, and I was like, oh yay, we're still sharing an office. Even though I didn't have an assistant anymore. But she would look at me and go, why do you keep saying that you're not sure about him? You never take off that necklace. Oh, and you gave me a bracelet too.
Yes.
And I nearly lost the bracelet and almost like freaked out. And she's like, he sends you stuff. You never take it off once you put it on, or they never saw me take it off.
Yeah.
She said, your whole face lights up when you get a text message or he calls. Like, why do you keep saying that you're not sure how you feel? And she staged a romantic intervention in the office. I think it was when you sent me flowers, roses, at some point. And that's when she was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Stop living in denial. We can all see this.
The state of denial.
Oh, yeah. I'm really good at it. Okay. So, bottom line on kinky gear, do or don't. You don't need it. But if you want it, there's nothing wrong with bringing it. Just think ahead when you're packing it up and think about how you're traveling. I will say this. I mean, we're speaking specifically about traveling while kinky. But if your home is going to be the home base where everybody comes to visit this holiday season, you probably already know how to hide your toys. But if you have been living a life where maybe there's no kids and it's just you guys and you're at a point where you could just walk around naked if you want, right? I would start looking around now about how you want to handle where your toys live. For us, it's mostly don't go into our bedroom. Just
under
don't.
Our bed, yeah.
Don't go into our bedroom. You don't want to go in the closet. You just don't want to go in the closet. We literally have floggers and rope on stuff just hanging.
And stacks of paddles.
Stacks of paddles. I cannot wait for the day we have an office and we can have like a little, like a closet.
Yes,
we can store our inventory. Yeah. Right now, it's in our closet.
Well, yeah, I have seen and heard of some people that get rather creative with storing their toys. I've heard of several people who have armoires in their bedroom that are dedicated to their toys. Yeah, they open up and, you know, they put hooks so, you know, stuff hangs there. And those can lock.
Those, I'm sorry, are hashtag kink goals. I want one of those when I grow up. I want to play. Because right now, we have hooks and things that hang in our closet. Like you just walk in and there's his ties that he doesn't even wear anymore. And then right next to them, there are floggers and daisy chained ropes and just things hanging there. And then if you go into our bedroom proper, on the dresser will be some box with some
random,
vibrator
random
in it.
Box, yeah.
The nightstand drawers are full. You can almost not even open them. We have a big box under the bed of the sex toys I tried and did not love, which hopefully I'll have an upcoming announcement about that where I want to try to sell those to people at a discount who would be interested. Only the ones I can sterilize. But we have that. So there is no crawling around on our floor. Like,
my mom
could never say, I'll go look under your bed for that. No, you will not.
No.
Oh, hell no, you will not.
There is a duffel bag full of rope.
Oh, yeah. There's one duffel bag of just rope. Then there's our toy bag perpetually packed in case, you know, in case you're on the run and you've got this random chance from Kinky Fuckery.
Sadist on the run.
Yeah. So just a side note, if everybody's coming to you and you have had gotten to be very relaxed with where you keep your stuff, it's up to you. Y'all, it's a free country. Hopefully wherever you're listening to, it's a free country. You can leave your shit out around your house and let people just, you know, wonder. That's up to you. But if it's a thing where you don't want to have that conversation while passing the turkey, just look around and see what you can do right now. So that's the gear part. And to me, that part's the easiest part. That's the, do we leave it at home? Do we hide it? That part's not that big a deal. I think most people think that they have to leave it at home and you don't. It's up to you. But the other side of it is a thing we talk about all the time. We just talk about it in different ways. The way we have talked about it in past years is usually after the fact. After we've gone through it and we're like, oh God, we just went through this. And that is being your kinky self when you are around vanilla family or friends who don't either understand how your DS dynamic works or don't have a clue about it at all. And that's not a thing you've talked about. And they think you're just a quote typical couple, whatever that might mean. And, right. Which I find it hilarious that we even have that stereotype of what it means to be typical, because we all do it our own way. Yeah, there's no such thing. That's DS or vanilla, doesn't matter. And so this kind of goes back to what we said about the collars, where whatever you choose to do or however you choose to behave or whatever you decide is kinky for you and it's power exchange or maintains your relationship, that can be literally anything. And it's whatever you add meaning to and decide has meaning for you. So I know this tends to be more difficult for people who have very strict protocols and rituals that they sort of follow every single day, because you're in the privacy of your own home, or it's just the two of you and however you interact. And now maybe you're gonna be at somebody's house, or maybe you're gonna be sharing a hotel suite with somebody. Who knows what you're gonna be doing, but you're not gonna be in your normal space.
Right.
So, thoughts? I caught you off guard, didn't I?
Yes, you did. I
felt like I was doing most of the talking. Oh,
because you normally do, baby girl.
I know. I was trying to like give you your time in the sun, okay. Daddy.
So we've kind of talked about this before in the past a little bit too, but I guess just to give a quick rundown, I mean, what we do, what works for us when we're out, you know, to kind of maintain the power exchange more so than anything. You know, you will obviously make my coffee.
I do that every morning too. And my mom thinks I'm just the nice Southern wife who makes your coffee, but it's like, he comes lumbering out of the bedroom and I'm like, here is your coffee. I have shoved my stepfather out of the way. I'm sorry. I need to get to that coffee pot. Grumpy Polar.
See, what they don't realize is that that's a public safety service as well.
Doing my part for humanity by making sure this man has his first cup of coffee.
But yeah, you do that. You make my coffee. At dinner time, if we're eating home, you will make my plate.
Yeah, I serve you.
Okay.
And again, and see, this is the nice thing. I have to say, this is the nice thing about being raised in a stereotypical Southern fashion where the men folk always wander off to another room and the women folk are always like in the kitchen, which, yes, there's some problems with that shit. I get it. But man, it certainly makes being a submissive woman way easier because I'm like, oh, why, yes, I have to make my husband's plate. Daddy's plate, because he wants his little bitch to serve it. So it's kinky as fuck, and yet sadly
in an unobtrusive way.
Totally unobtrusive way. It's also heteronormative and not very feminist.
But some you know, in situations like that, you work with what you've got.
Exactly. Right. You take the moments to serve or exert control or give up control where you can find them.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, as far as simple direction, just placing my hand on her forearm, okay, to, you know, give it a squeeze and say, oh, you know, okay.
That's usually if I go too far with something, yeah. And we have perfected, and I think this, I don't know how we are able to do this without anybody asking questions. It is possible that we always worry somebody will question things and people really don't care as much as we think they will care.
They do, yeah.
But like, if I want, last holiday season, this happened a lot. It won't happen this holiday season because I firmly just do not eat cookies or cakes or anything anymore. But what would happen is I would want more. I was supposed to have a little nibble, but oh, it's the holidays and we're traveling. And so I would lean over very subtly, I hoped, to you and say, can I, do you mind? But I would do it like, put my hand a little bit over my mouth so you couldn't quite see, or I'd whisper, or I'd, you know. We have gotten really good over the past couple of years of speaking with our eyes. Like, my eyes will look at something and he'll know what I mean, or I'll make a face. And so I would find ways to ask for permission for things that were clearly not part of a very ritualized thing where, daddy, can I? Daddy, may I? Please, daddy. No. It was sort of a, what do you think? And we have gotten to that point in our relationship where that does work. Oh, it doesn't always work for everybody. It doesn't even always work for us. Many, many times I've pulled him into another room and gone, did you not read my eyes? They were looking right there.
How could you not miss the signal? The bat signal was up. What's going on?
Just wanted more candy. Okay. So no, it is not foolproof. It will not work for everybody. It might not even work the first time. If you're not on the same page, it's not a good substitution for regular communication. No. The other thing I would say is set your expectations as best you can before you leave. Before you're around family and can't easily ask the question you might want to ask of, okay, so how are we going to handle this? Especially if you have routines that are through the day that would be very unusual to somebody who does not understand your power exchange. If you just like flat did them, you're like, okay, we normally, you know, I normally kneel at 6 p.m. every day. What are we going to do instead, right? For us, it's our nightly, I lean over the bed. He usually spanks my ass. Well, guess who is not spanking her ass in my mama's house? That, no. Mm-mm. Partly because that's just loud. And partly because no. So then it's okay, well, how do we want to modify this? So if you can have the conversation before you get there, do that and make a plan. And that way, everybody, you both know what the hell you're doing.
Well, that's a good thing, you know, communicate ahead.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, especially if this is not your first time traveling like this, it might be your first time traveling after DS. Like you've been together for years and years and years, but now you've incorporated DS and, oh, wait, this will be my first trip to where, you know, whoever's house and we're kinky. How do we do this?
It's kind of like, you know, depending on where you're going, it's almost like you're negotiating.
A little bit, because you might have to, depending on how you feel about it, if it's important to you to maintain some kind of ritual or task or protocol so that you can stay in that nice, good, kinky mindset, even if nobody else knows what's going on.
Exactly.
You might have to restructure what you do for this trip.
Yep.
In order for you to get what you both need without then having very awkward conversations
while you pass
the roles. Nope, nobody wants that.
Nope.
And maybe you do want that, and I would love to hear from you after you travel and see how that went, because that would be fascinating to me. So yeah, it is little things, and it does depend on your kind of power exchange too. So I am very much a service submissive, so it's whatever I can do for John Brownstone while we're traveling that just looks like me being a nice wife, I will do that, and it will be meaningful to me and nobody has to know. And then of course there is the side that wants kinky fuckery, and it's been a joke the past several visits where libido goes out the window. We're we're quite celibate. It's really depressing, but it's because for about a year we didn't have access to that private space.
Correct.
And that supposedly that private space will be available when we travel again. Yeah. And so who knows what we might do, because then what would happen on those trips is if we couldn't quite get the service aspect as much as we wanted, maybe we're going in different directions, or there was just always somebody there, or my mom was trying to take care of all of us, because that happens too. Then we had that opportunity at night
to
play a little bit.
Right.
Truly with a belt, and you just mind fucking me. That was an entire scene. I don't even know how long it lasted. Man, I slept good that night. I slept really good that night. So, you know, it all depends on the situation, but I do think that, think about, to the submissives out there, think about how you submit under normal circumstances and then see where that can translate into very mundane parts of life.
How it can be modified.
Exactly. You know, there, we still, as much as we can when we're traveling, you still pick up my panties.
Correct.
The way we get around that, because I know a lot of people do the underwear thing, when I'm packing us up, and sometimes you pack us up.
Yeah.
We figure out how many nights and how many days I need underwear for.
And then I pick out that.
And then you pick them all out. And then sometimes we've had trips where we never really could, like the very beginning of the day and the very end of the day, we could kind of like have a moment, but the middle of the day was so hectic, we never could.
Right.
Then in those situations, because you had already picked out all those panties, I could pick out the individual ones. Like, what am I wearing today? That's my decision. And then sometimes we've had trips where it worked out, everything was laid back enough, you could go, I want you to wear these today. Yeah. And we would do that. So if you have some kind of dynamic like that where dominant picks a thing, submissive, you know, follows mm-hmm. it, do as much as you can up front. Or, and sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes that might have to just wait until you get home.
Yeah.
It kind of sucks, but it's the nature of it. If you can sneak away, we do this, and my mom thinks it's because we're so lovey-dovey and so cute. And I'm like, oh, I need my daddy. Almost every night that we are visiting my mom, we sneak away for a coffee or a yeah. walk or something where we get 30 minutes, just the two of us.
At least a little bit of time mm-hmm. together, away from everybody, mm-hmm. to where we can just be us.
Mm-hmm. And I have noticed over the years that you pack a lot of instruction giving into those moments.
Yeah.
Do this, baby girl. Do that, baby girl. Yes, daddy. Yes, daddy.
And don't forget this.
Right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's the nature of it, too. You have to pack everything you want to try and get done into a small amount of time, because that might be your only real time to just be the right. two of you. And so I think most of us know these things, but what I have found what happens is the holiday season hits. We're busy at work. We're busy with kids. We're busy with family. We're busy making plans. We're busy, busy, busy. And then what happens is we go full tilt until like the day we are going to travel. And then it's like, oh God, yeah, I've got to think about this now. And if before it gets all hectic, you can think about it now and maybe make a plan, maybe it will be a better experience, and it won't feel, yeah. you won't come home feeling like, oh my God, I was supposed to have loved that. And yet we're mm-hmm. off. And what we've always talked about is the couple of weeks it takes us to get back into
the groove.
Right. And so it's not perfect. It's not going to work every time. Even your best plans that, you know, you're like, oh, I'm really flexible about these, might still not work once, you know, you hit reality and what your family has planned and what's going on. And that's all going to happen too. But I think what I find most comforting, and I know to be true, at least for me, is that when I know we both feel the same way, we both mm-hmm. are thinking, man, could these people go away so we could be kinky for a few minutes?
Yeah,
like,
right.
When I know we're both missing the other and missing that part of our dynamic, even when we're sitting right next to each other in the same fucking room, it's comforting because it means that we're in the same situation together. And the moment we can be alone and have that moment, we can laugh about it, we can complain yeah. about it, we can commiserate, and then we're already on the same page, even if that same page is, this is not as kinky as I would like it to be.
Yeah.
And that is it's a bonding experience. It lets
it
you,
is.
Helps you laugh about it when your options are to laugh or cry.
Mm-hmm.
Prefer to laugh when I can. Yeah. And it means that you're not alone. It's not like you're right. sitting over there going, gosh, I feel out of it. Oh, but look, my partner over there is clearly perfectly happy. No, you might both be in that situation. Like, oh, I am missing that part of us, and I need mm-hmm. that part of us. So that, I think that's probably the way to make the best of a not always mm-hmm. great situation. And you know what? Sometimes you have so much fun with your family. Maybe it's somebody you haven't seen them all year, or it's somebody you just love being with. Not every family visit is awful. Like, sometimes we really do enjoy them. And you don't notice it until it's over and you're like, oh, wait, God, we were barely our DS selves. And what does that mean? So I do think that the best way to handle it is to think about it early and do the best you can.
Plan and plan accordingly.
That's all you can do. And communicate.
Yeah.
Communicate before, communicate during, communicate after.
Yeah.
Yes. So, is that traveling while kinky?
I think so.
I mean, if you think about it, we're kinky no matter what we're doing. We're
right.
kinky no matter where we are. So, moving through life, just doing our normal stuff, we're always kinky. It's about how we choose to think about the things that we do. And if we want to modify things so that we know what they mean, but they look less obvious or less questionable, you know, I'm not going to get naked and get led around on a leash at my mama's house. Oh. It's not happening. It's not happening. But I'll live for that moment when he leans in my ear and whispers something like completely filthy when nobody else can hear.
Yeah.
That's still the same, but it's a pretty close mm-hmm. second. It'll do. Okay. It'll do. So we're always kinky no matter what we're doing. True. It's just a matter of switching how we look at things and think about things. Yep. And yeah. So I think that's it.
Okay.
I will say for anybody, especially in the beginning part where we were talking about gear, if you have any tips and tricks about how you pack things or things that you've mm-hmm. experienced, like
we'd love to hear it.
Going through airport security or, you know, how especially very BDSM gear has been handled and in your experience, feel free to reach out and let us know. I have always been very fortunate that, you know, it went mm-hmm. well. But I also, you see,
Mr. TSA agent, we're part of a medieval
renaissance
group.
No, my way to do it is that I just check it. I've been in a position where I could afford to check a bag, or I happened to be on an airline where I didn't have to pay for the first bag or whatever, and I just check that shit. But I did come through worse. I've talked about this before. Longtime listeners might remember this story. So first Eroticon, 2017, coming back through Dublin. So I went from London to Dublin to Baltimore to Tampa. That was a fun flight. And so leaving out of Dublin, I had to go through.
That was a hop, whatever. Skip, and a jump.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it was a pretty good flight. And the TSA dude. Now I am an unassuming person in my hot pink hoodie and my pajama pants who clearly looks very tired. And he was all intimidating. He's like, "You got anything to clear? What have you got in your bags?" I'm like, "Sex toys and English chocolate." It's like, you are not fucking with me. I would never say that. I was so tired. I was like, I just want to go the fuck home right now. And, you know, he backed down. Yeah. So I declared it, but it was still not in my checked bag, in my carry-on. It was in a checked bag. So I tend to handle it because I have, or we just drive. We just drive and then it doesn't matter. I can bring what the hell mm-hmm. I want to bring. You got to do what's best for you and try to find workarounds where you can, but it's always stay within the law. There are too many people who already think that, those kinky people are abusive or freaks or whatever, you know, thing they want to think about us. I personally, I know not everybody agrees with this. I prefer to fly under the radar, you know, with my giant podcast. When I have to be out in under my legal name, I prefer to fly way under the radar. I'm not doing a good job of it, but I do prefer it. So, but anybody who has experience with it, tips, feel free to reach out wherever you are. We probably are on social media, Fat mm-hmm. Life. So we would we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it.
We good?
We've got a massive bonus section.
Yeah.
We've got so many things to talk about.
So let's move along.
Okay.
Ready?
I don't know.
Come on, girl.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. May I please talk to the crickets while you write down little notes? Please and thank you, Daddy.
There's the magic words, baby girl. Go ahead.
You. First things first, we got mail.
We got mail. Yes, we did.
Okay. First was a lovely, lovely letter from our friend. The letter is from our friend, but the couple is our friend as well. And I'm going to put you in charge of putting up the postcard for YouTube.
Okay.
I'll take a picture and pop it on Instagram too so people can see it. It is very, very beautiful. And I am not going to read the whole. Did you make the postcard dance for the video camera?
Yes, I did.
And it is from Sorrento, and I am not butchering anybody's language. So they traveled.
Italy.
They traveled, but could not.
Printed in Italy. Well, Sorrento, I believe. Yeah.
Did not get a chance. Couldn't find a place to mail it where they were. So it got sent in a letter. And they are dear friends of ours that in the past, every time they've sent us something, I've gone, I can't say his name. So Cat Kinks who is a blogger. She's got a brand new baby sex blog, and she's on Twitter. She sent me a pronunciation.
There you go.
Thank you, Cat Kinks. It's Matra, which is always what I want to say, but yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm going to butcher it. Because when you look at it, it's spelled in the French way. And I did take French for 2 years in high school, and it was sad. So it was very sad. So they traveled. They are long distance. He is in England. She is in the States. Mm-hmm. They come together when they can, yeah. for as long as they can. But they are another couple that... totally understands what it's like to have to be separate and apart.
Yeah.
And they're wonderful and we adore them. And mm-hmm. we got to see Matra in we were in London
last year, yes.
This year. I know. We don't even know. In Eroticon 2018, and we've already made plans to see them at Eroticon 2019. So they are wonderful and mm-hmm. we adore them.
Yes.
Thank you. And thank you for the pronunciation chart. My dear, dear friend Cat Kings. Then Mrs. Robinson, who is a writer, a blogger, I think a listener, she's definitely kinky, mm-hmm. and also, as of the time she sent this, 8 months pregnant.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. She sent me a birthday card.
Yes.
My birthday was the other day. You mm-hmm. have to hold it up because I suck at that. Oh, I did okay. Again, we'll put this on Instagram if you're a podcast listener. It's a birthday card. Mm-hmm. It's a very festive birthday card.
Yes, it is.
She was just very...
It definitely appeals to the baby girl and you squeed when you opened it.
It's all swirly and there's purple and it's just beautiful. And it was very, very sweet. And she's so funny. She says, I tried to get something that would feel very birthday festive for you on this momentous year. And then in a little side note, because there was a problem with momentous, I don't think my spelling is good and I blame that on being 8 months pregnant. Yes, you can blame everything on being 8 months pregnant right now. You can blame things on pregnancy and childbirth well after that baby is born too. Just saying. I'm still blaming those children 13 years later. So.
Poor kids.
I know. I did finally admit to my oldest that he's the experiment, that I don't actually know what I'm doing. And every year I keep him alive. I celebrate.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm just your experiment, aren't I? Yes, baby, you are. And what was funny is I did not get to check this until 2 days after my birthday. But she'd sent it well in advance of my birthday. And there was a note that says, Kayla, do not open until your birthday. Resist the urge. And I want it said. I want it known. I'll say it. I want it known. I've had several birthday cards that I put to the side and just waited.
I was very impressed with you on that, baby girl. She did. She had about at least 3 birthday cards that came in the mail. And
Early.
And we have a counter between the kitchen and dining area. She placed those cards up there. And she never looked at them once.
Y'all, it was like...
Or touched them once.
7 p.m. on my birthday.
I was very impressed.
Before I opened them. This is how I know I'm fully an adult and I'm getting older. Not old,
You
older.
Actually even wanted to open them before dinner.
I know, and you wouldn't let
We didn't have time.
We didn't have time.
If we were to get to the restaurant and be able to...
Right, we were meeting one of my friends there, right.
And I even offered to bring them with.
No, I was
and
not...
And she said no.
I said no. Here's why. Here's why. I am not all about that stranger singing happy birthday to you in a restaurant bullshit. Hell no. Hell no.
Spoken like a true introvert.
Oh my God. Don't come at me with your weird little company birthday song and a pastry that I can't even fucking eat anyway and make me the center of attention in a room full of strangers. Oh, hell no. No, you get away from me with that crap. So I was like, no, they might see the birthday cards and think that somebody's having a birthday. Hell no. I once had a friend who threatened to pretend it was my birthday. We were at a Mexican restaurant, so it was going to be the big sombrero thing and the... They're like, I'll tell them it's your birthday. I said, bitch.
Oh, come on. You could have had the mariachi band.
I said, bitch, I'll pull out my driver's license and prove you a liar. You better not do that shit to me. And I have raised my children right because neither of them, even the 13-year-old who loves being the center of attention and thinks everybody should focus on him at all times, is like, please don't let the strangers sing to me in the restaurant. I said, baby, I would never do that to you. I'm your mother and I love you. And the 9-year-old who I do worry, I think he might have gotten some serious strains of anxiety. But he's like, no, don't tell anybody. I'm like, and I do tease him. I'm like, not even for the free dessert. They're like, the dessert's not worth it, mom. Just no, we don't want it. Good. good. You're definitely my children then. If the family resemblance wasn't the proof. There we go.
Yeah.
So, yes, I did have a good birthday.
Yeah.
It was very low-key. I did work more that day than I anticipated, and I kept telling myself that I was going to get to take most of Thursday off and then all of Friday, and mm-hmm. I lied to myself.
Yeah.
It's not happening. But it was a good birthday. I am 39 now, and just this happened to me at 29 as well. Now that I'm facing the end of one decade and going into a new one, that gives me like a moment of, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm in my 20s. I was like, I'm not going to be in my 20s anymore. And now I'm like, oh my God, this is the last year of my 30s. And there's a little bit of a freak out. But once I hit 40, I'll be fine. I'll be like, wow, I'm a nice round. My OCD will be very happy. Okay. I like round numbers. I like easily divisible numbers. I'm okay with 39 because you can divide that easily by 3. And it just makes me happy. I have issues. Because many, many crickets were asking about this, and some people missed our Instagram live on this. We will.
Yeah.
We do need to mention the kinky fuckery that occurred on October 25th.
Oh, yeah.
And that will go down in infamy only in our own minds, but I don't care. It was fucking amazing.
It was so great. It was a great time.
It was so good.
Because it was daytime in...
We were the only ones playing.
So there, awesome. There were a number of people getting tours.
New members
getting tours of the facility, but we were the only ones playing.
And it was so nice.
We got to pretty much pick all our own music.
Yeah, we got to tell them what music we wanted, and then of course we had the pick of the stations.
Right.
And do you want to tell them what we picked? Because if you listen to episode 152, I was like, I don't know what I want. I want mm-hmm. this one. I want that one. And so.
The St. Andrew's Cross.
Oh, and it was so good. Yep. It was so good.
And what was nice, we actually had pick of several St. Andrew's Crosses.
And you can't typically do this on a night when it's like there's a lot of people at a play party. But so this particular club, and I've seen this in other places too, they'll put up little racks so you can stage your toys and get to them easier. Well, because we were the only ones there, I used that table. I used that Peggy Hook thing. Mm-hmm. I was pulling them all in.
Yes, she did.
And laid out all the toys.
Yep.
And I had a serious lapse judgment.
Yes, you did.
In the middle and stuck out my tongue.
Yep.
And paid for it.
Dearly.
And I have zero regrets. No, hashtag no regrets.
You did at the moment, though.
I did and I didn't. And it was this moment where, so I think, say this to anybody who's in a relationship, either with a sadist or somebody who has that streak where they will look for that moment where they're like, how can I make you pay for this? We learn either if you want it, you know mm-hmm. exactly what to do, but if you don't want it, oops, we learn how to avoid those things. And so that's why I didn't say I definitely wanted this piece of equipment or, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I know how you are. You're a sadist. You're going to like steer me another way. So I know that sticking out my tongue is like the worst thing I could do. Like, it's not the worst thing,
mm-hmm.
but in that moment, in that headspace, like, and I could feel my tongue. It was an urge. It was a strong urge. I could feel my tongue coming out. And the moment it came out, I was like, oh my God, can I swallow it back? No. There was no going back.
No.
And oh my God, you walloped the fuck out of me.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Hashtag no regrets. There were a couple of times. My ass was your drum.
Yeah.
And the music was such that he was literally, it was floggers, right?
Those were the little mini floggers.
Flogging me to
the beat of the drums.
Of the drums in the song.
Yep.
And it would be okay for like the first 10 seconds. And then I was like, nope. What I found most fascinating about that moment was how much I laughed. Like I relaxed.
Yes.
I didn't hit like full subspace, but I was very relaxed. Had a blindfold on, so my eyes had to stay closed, but that was wonderful because they wanted to stay closed. There came points, in the middle of the scene, I didn't tell him till afterwards because I was afraid he would stop. I literally cried tears of joy. I was so happy. I was overwhelmed. All my senses were overwhelmed. And it was at that point that the sensation was almost unbearable. But I was also so happy to be there, I just cried.
Mm-hmm.
I just cried.
And I even mind fucked you a little bit. Several times with a couple of toys, I took and I would touch her.
Mm.
Just touch her with the toy. And told her, I said, if you can tell me exactly what this is, I won't use it.
And of course I could not.
Nope.
I could not.
No.
But yeah, there was floggers and paddles and barehanded spanking. And it was funny because they have, rightly so, they have a rule that if you're playing, no excessive noise. And during the day especially so, because there's a lot more people
right
out in that area where the club is. And the guy checking us in said, I laughed. And I said, I'll do my best. He goes, you're noisy, huh? Uh-huh. And I was not as noisy as I have been in the past.
No, you were not. You were not.
But there was much squeaking and screeching and
yes,
and yeah. Yep. There was also much jutting my ass out,
uh-huh,
like, oh yeah, come at me, and he did, and it was wonderful.
It's like waving a cape at a bull.
I know, it was the whole point. And by the end, it was a very red cape.
Yeah,
I did end up with a mark/bruise.
Yep.
It's already faded. Mm-hmm. It's a week later, so that's fine. And it was a perfect circle from the lolly paddle.
Yeah.
It was a perfect circle. I was like, there's a circle on my fucking ass. I was like, how hard did you hit me with that? Very.
Very.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it was a very good day. The days that they'll be open at that time again all fall on holidays, so it'll probably be the new year before we can go back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll be worth the wait. We've got a lot going on now. So, yeah, so it was amazing and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And now I am ready for the finishing of our birthday, wedding, anniversary extravaganza to go see Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
And I haven't figured out when we're going to be able to do that because... I don't go to movies when other people go to movies because that means there's people sitting next to me in a theater. Oh God, that sounds real. In my head, it sounds totally normal, but when I say it out loud, it sounds bad. I like matinees is all I'm saying.
Okay? Yeah.
Because I'm a cheapskate who doesn't want to sit next to anybody except John Brownstone in the theater. It's true.
Mm.
It's true. Now you know. Now you know how deep the introversion goes. And my social anxiety. I mean, that really can kill an evening.
Mm-hmm.
So that's us. That's it. A reminder for crickets.
Do we want to mention?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if we can do it quick because then we can go into more details later. But a reminder for crickets, Laudbrat giveaway, link in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Woodshed Orlando December 1st if that's feasible for you.
Right.
I mean,
if I remember correctly, the times for that will be between 3 to 7.
3 to 7, yes. Yep. So, yes. Okay, yes. If that's a thing we told our patrons in our behind the scenes podcast for October.
Correct.
Now it's November, so go for it.
Yep.
It's your baby.
Okay.
Not literal baby.
No.
Project.
No. Project kind of thing.
Not baby. That was a bad.
So I'll go into this real quick. We are looking at upgrading our audio equipment.
Like, seriously
upgrading. Seriously upgrading.
Like grown-ups.
Yeah, like real deal here. So we had gone to one of our local Sam Ashes because I had begun researching some equipment and wasn't quite sure what I was looking at.
Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, I knew what I was looking for, but not...
How do you know what's good?
How do you know
works,
what's good?
Yeah.
You know, so we went to Sam Ash and we talked. And short Reader's Digest version is we found a mixing board.
Portable. That we can take with us anywhere.
Right. We can take anywhere because it is also self-contained. It can be connected to a computer or it has a SD card slot, which means we could take that with us anywhere we go, pop
record
a card in there,
the
and record on the road. What's nice about this board, I think it will take up to 6 microphones.
I don't remember.
And we would each have our own mic.
So you would be able to hear John Brownstone.
And I could tone down...
Nobody wants to tone me down.
The baby girl.
I'm colorful. I'm delightful. That's probably not true. I probably do need to be toned down. And it would probably just be easier to turn off the mic instead of... Because I'm going to keep talking. We turn off the mic, I still keep talking.
Yeah.
Loudly.
So this is not the low end of the spectrum
No.
equipment.
It's not the high end.
It's not the high end. It's somewhat middle of the road.
It's an investment, though. It is definitely an investment.
We did the math. it would be for everything between the board and some cables and the mics, just a little over $1,000.
Yeah, but for us, it's worth it. We've got this podcast. We've got Masturbation Monday podcast. We've got a Smut Lancer podcast. We're doing more video. We need better audio.
It would be better audio for all that.
We're going to work on creating better video, hopefully in the new year as well. Yes. Lighting sucks, we know.
That is on our radar. We've already kind of sort of started a fund for it.
Yeah, stashing money.
Stashing money. Right now we're about 120.
We're at
10%. But we're hoping to shoot for after the first of the year. Mm-hmm. What's nice with this too, with the mixing board, it comes with professional software. Mm-hmm. All right, so. It's got a lot of advantages to it, and it's something we're seriously moving towards and are very excited about.
Yeah, we're upping our game for 2019.
Yes.
Longtime listeners, people who remember the community from not that many months ago, will remember we did a survey at the end of 2017 for 2018. We will not be doing a survey like that because we don't have the community. That's why we did it. It was for mm-hmm. the community. But I am going to look at the 2018 things we had hoped to do. There are so many reasons they didn't happen. And then see what we can incorporate from that into 2019. Mm-hmm. And then we have some plans for 2019.
Yes.
And yeah, we love what we do. And we love the fact that we reach people and that we help people.
Yeah.
The messages we get, oh my gosh, on days when I'm like, what the hell are we doing? Then somebody will randomly send me a message. I'm like, oh, this is what we're doing.
I mean, we have plans for 2019.
And we just want to do it better is what we're trying to do.
But at the same time, we're trying to keep it realistic for 2019 because we do have a lot on our plate with the move.
We're going to go to London. With our move, we're going to sell our house.
We're going to London, sell our house.
We're going to move to a different city.
Yeah.
Oh, and grow all of our businesses.
Yes. So, you know, we are going to be doing things, but we're trying to keep it realistic.
And here's the funny thing, a little insider's note, we're doing all of that, right? And we're going to do all of that, and we're excited about all of that. And I promise you, in the middle of that, one of us, and it could be either of us, one of us is going to look at the other and go, why aren't we having as much sex as we usually have?
Yeah, right?
I don't know, because we're trying to do everything else.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's a lot going on, mm-hmm. and we've learned some lessons in 2018.
Correct.
Some hard lessons, some really good lessons, and hopefully we can move that into 2019 and do some big things and make it more fun and interesting and good for people who've been with mm-hmm. us for a long time, and make it something that newer people are like, hey, this is what we need.
Cool.
This is cool. Yeah. So, yeah, that's us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to help with any of that, we have some of the most generous freaking listeners ever. If you have cash, you can become a patron. That's a great way. We have had a couple people who used our PayPal link and sent a one-time donation. They're like, I can't do something all the time, but I can do this one time.
Right.
That's cool. You can always reach out and ask us. Buy something from the Kinky Fuckery Shop. We take special order. We did do an order through PayPal. Mm-hmm. because we don't use PayPal on our sites because PayPal is very funny with adult companies, especially little ones that they can bully. So we are very weird about PayPal, but we do have PayPal, and we did an order that way. We just had to reach out and talk mm-hmm. to us. But if you don't have any cash, just share us with your
just
kinky friends.
And,
you know, it doesn't have to be online either. We know that
give the podcast a review. That always helps people
that is
find
definitely
us.
Helpful.
That's a help too.
If you interact with your local community, we know because people told us that they tell their munch or their sub meeting or their dom group about the podcast. If you find it useful and helpful and you think it will help other people, you don't have to spend money. You don't even have to spend a lot of time. Just tell people we exist. Yeah. And it all helps. And we are growing. The website is growing. The podcast, there's so many issues with apps out there that are not updated with recent episodes. It makes me want to cry, and I don't have a fix for that. But, you know, the more people we can reach, hopefully the more people we can help. And long term, hopefully more people have healthy, mm-hmm. happy BDSM experiences and DS relationships. And that's the goal.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want it to be our job too, and that's what I'm working on. Making it our full-time job. We're working on it. So right. that
being said,
that's a lot. This was a jam-packed freaking episode.
Yes, it was.
Oh my God, Lodbrok giveaway. Mm-hmm. Go enter. If you are near Orlando,
yeah,
December 1st.
You can stop by and see us and
I know.
Look
y'all,
at
y'all. Here's what's said. I'm already trying to think of what I'm going to wear that day.
Yeah.
I got to make some promotional items for our booth. We've got to deal with setup, but I'm worried about what I'm going to wear.
Okay.
Because there's something wrong with me.
How about if I just pick it out for you and done and
man,
no
that
worries.
Would make my
okay,
life so much
see,
easier. Will you
there,
do it right, though?
Girl. You're treading on tongue sticking out territory.
I know.
That, okay?
Because... Baby Girl Energy did a in run into business Big Dominant
yeah.
Energy.
Yeah.
So.
All right. You probably better say goodbye before you dig yourself into a deeper hole.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
We love you guys. Thank you.